Importance of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mashulu, and I'll be your guide into the macabre and mysterious. In tonight's story, we learn the fate of a troubled young scientist in Wormhole. Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. Dr. Yolanda Chavez entered the final calculations into the wormhole gun. Her lungs drew in a deep breath. This was it. She squeezed the trigger. Swirling light and strange sounds emanated from the barrel, ripping a passageway through space-time a few feet away. She smiled. Finally, success. There, in her tiny lab, was a small, stable wormhole. The other side had opened in a Kansas field, just as she had planned. 10 years of isolation, ridicule, and being called insane by her peers were worth it for this moment. The wormhole was 5 meters in diameter. Its interior was only 16 meters long. This meant near-instant travel over thousands of miles had been achieved. The walls of the tunnel resembled a densely packed nervous system of strange, thick purple threads. A cool breeze carrying the pungent aroma of the American Midwest wafted into the lab. Yolanda stepped into the tunnel, penetrating an invisible energy membrane. The interior disoriented her mind. Every atom went out of phase with time. The thunderous vibration in the wormhole caused her organs to quake. She felt ill. Yolanda closed her eyes to focus. The wormhole's effect muted as she grew accustomed to her new environment. She slowly went forward. Long strands of multidimensional energy began stretching out from the walls, creating a spider web behind her. White-hot streaks of light ran down the thick purple threads, causing them to glow a pale violet. Small sparks of thought jumped from one strand to another. This webbing became the new home for an interdimensional being. It commenced thinking in 3 dimensions instead of 5. Creating a wormhole wasn't easy, but Yolanda was brilliant. She was also a mess. Growing up smarter than everyone, she was always isolated by those who envied her intelligence. Expected to do great things, the pressure to achieve drove a teenage Yolanda to drink heavily. She lashed out even at those trying to help her. Then, inspiration came. She published a paper theorizing that a wormhole could be created on Earth. The scientific community mocked her, saying the paper read more like science fiction than actual science. They didn't get it. The math was too advanced. It read like nonsense to them. Yolanda tried every university in the U.S. None would greenlight the project. She went to the Pentagon, where crazy ideas were greenlit all the time, but they also said no. In a last-ditch effort, she went to the U.K., but it was all for naught. Word of her theories had spread through academia and beyond. The project was too radical, too dangerous, too expensive, just a pipe dream. It also didn't help that she was a slow-moving train wreck no one wanted to work with. Deflated, she went back to teaching and drank even more. Yolanda reached the Kansas side of the wormhole. Stepping out, she immediately transformed into a gelatinous substance splattering onto the ground. She became a puddle of thick human soup. Thoughts swam in the goo. Was she dead? Yolanda tried to take a large breath, which caused her new form to bubble. Suddenly, a cow walked up sniffing her. Its hot breath caused her surface to ripple. It was the oddest feeling. "What are you?" the cow asked. Its bovine thoughts mingled with her own, creating a strange language they both understood. "I'm human? Like the farmer?" "I think not," the cow replied. "I don't know what I am, then. I just know I'm scared," Yolanda admitted. "Try being a cow." It walked away. For hours, she lay there, slowly reconstituting herself. 43 hours later, she was whole again. The wormhole stayed open, but the portal had shrunk 2 meters. The thought of transforming into a puddle on the other side again horrified her, but she didn't have a choice. She would just grab a flight home, but she was naked, with no ID. All her clothes, including her wallet, transformed to goo as well. Without consciousness, it was impossible for them to reform like she had. Peering into the wormhole, Yolanda noticed the web of glowing energy blocking the way home. The wormhole started to collapse, and without a thought, Yolanda dove in, trying to get home before it closed completely. The webbing broke free, sticking to her skin. The walls closed in. Every atom vibrated again. She was completely disoriented. Only her hand reached out into the lab. She was trapped in the fifth dimension. Her hand liquefied, falling off right as the wormhole closed on her. Yolanda was now in the most abstract way only thought. Pure thought needs a pathway. The dense web the wormhole cut through had become the highway of her mind. Keeping her thoughts together proved difficult. Yolanda's mind had broken into individual thoughts. Some thoughts veered off on side threads. Over time, her mind completely separated, and Yolanda, as she had been in the third dimension, was no more. Distance meant nothing. Time meant nothing. Pure thought cascaded in all directions. There was no way to know if she had traveled for eons or mere seconds, but somehow, her mind came back together. It was not her doing. She had no control. Through gut-wrenching pain, she was reborn into the third dimension. She found herself on the floor of her lab, naked and rebuilt, but how? She wondered. The wormhole was gone. She crawled to her bed and passed out. Yolanda's mind hadn't been put together properly. While dreaming, she walked in a valley of glassy black rock under a crimson sky. Something was with her, some sort of presence living in the corner of her eye. Never fully in sight, the shadow unseen. It chittered in her skull. She woke screaming. Frost had been surprised to get a phone call from Yolanda. It had been years, many of them bitter, since they last spoke. When her name came up on caller ID, he hesitated, not sure if he wanted to reopen the door she so firmly slammed. But there he was, sitting at a table outside a downtown cafe, hoping this wasn't a huge mistake. "Hi, Frost. Thanks for coming to meet me," Yolanda said meekly. She stood a few feet away in a long trench coat, sunglasses, and a floppy hat. "Yolanda? Why are you dressed like a discount spy?" Frost asked. She sat across from him. Her face was emotionless. "We'll get to that. How are you?" "I'm all right. I will say that I was shocked to see your name pop up on my phone after all this time." "After you left me, I thought I'd never see you again," Frost said. I need your help. I know it's not cool to ask after what I did, but I do. Can you help me, or should I leave?" "Depends if you're still drinking or not," Frost replied coldly. "I stopped drinking 7 days ago. I won't be drinking again, okay?" Yolanda promised. "I've heard that before," he replied. "Frost, this isn't a joke. You either hear me out or don't. Stop with the judgmental BS," she snapped. "You're right. I'm sorry. But so we're clear, 7 days dry does not mean I trust you. Now tell me, what is so bad that you would contact me, of all people?" "I opened a wormhole at my lab a week ago." "Oh God, not this again." Frost stood up. Yolanda stood as well, then pulled up her sleeve to reveal a patch of scaly blue skin. "I'm telling the truth. I opened a wormhole and went through. Please, Frost, sit down, please." He sat down, speechless. She covered her arm again. "A week ago, I was finally ready to show the world it could be done. I went from my lab here to a cow pasture in Kansas, and in doing so, I was changed. I became a puddle of goo. After I reformed, I tried to return home, but the wormhole collapsed on me. I was transformed again, this time into pure thought. It's the best way I can describe it. Slowly, each piece of my being left, and I was gone. Somehow, I woke up in my lab. I felt like something had joined with me. Then yesterday, I noticed that patches of my skin were changing. I think I'm changing yet again." "That sounds impossible. What do you want me to do?" "You're the best biologist in the field. I want you to take me to your lab and run every test you can." "What about the hospital?" "No, I can't. I don't want to be a lab rat, so to speak. I trust you. Please, can you just run some tests?"
"Yeah, of course."
"You said something followed you?" he asked. "I guess more like hitched a ride. It's living in the corner of my eye, or at least I think it is. There is a presence. It could be a hallucination. My wife Heather is a neuroscientist. She may be able to help." "You got married. Congratulations." She smiled to hide her disappointment. There was a twinge of regret, guilt, and longing for Frost that she hadn't counted on. It was selfish, but she never wanted him to move on.
"Yeah. Anyway, if you'd be okay with it, I can have her meet us at my lab."
He was unsure about introducing them, but Heather could help. Plus, it was better that she knew he was assisting Yolanda. "I'll take all the help I can get." Looking around, Yolanda noted that Frost's lab was well-funded. The university had made sure the grant money was put to good use. He had the staff and resources to run multiple projects with students. She had to admit, it was nice. He'd called ahead to make sure they would be alone.
The phone call with his wife, Heather, was awkward, but she arrived not long after they did. Heather seemed friendly and ready to dive in, but Yolanda still fought jealousy. She wanted to hate this woman. Her mind needed something to think about besides the ever-growing interdimensional being present inside her head. "Can you please take off your clothes so we can see what's happening?" Heather asked. "Yeah, sure." Yolanda took off her glasses, wig, and clothing. Both Frost and Heather gasped. Yolanda had patches of blue scales all over her body. Her head was bald with deep blue ridges running from the top of her forehead to the back of her skull. Her left eye had turned completely black. Stunned, Heather couldn't hide her concern. "I think we need to quarantine this lab, her lab, and ourselves until we figure this out," Heather said. Frost nodded in agreement. "You're right. This is much more serious than I had thought. We're going to need more specialists and medical doctors, Yolanda. We can't do this on our own."
"Guys, no, we can. I don't want to be some kind of lab rat," Yolanda protested.
"We have no way of knowing what this is or if it's contagious. It would be unethical for us not to call the CDC," Frost said.
"The CDC can take us anywhere they want, and their doctors would be in control, not us," Yolanda argued.
"I understand your concerns, but we have to take the public's health into consideration," Heather said. She turned to Frost. "How long can you keep this lab empty?"
"I don't know. Students have projects, I have classes, but those all take a backseat to quarantine. I'll need to call the dean after we call the CDC.
"I'm sorry, Yolanda. It's the right thing to do all around," Frost responded.
"No, I'm not going to be a prisoner of the CDC.
She started to put her clothes back on.
"We're only trying to help. Protocols are in place for a reason. You could be contagious, and we have no idea what this is. It's in everyone's best interest, yours included," Heather said gently.
Yolanda hastily put her clothes on and started for the door.
"No, this was a mistake. I knew I couldn't trust you, Frost."
"Stay away from me," Yolanda snapped. Frost moved to block her from leaving.
"You're being unreasonable."
"You have to stay, Yolanda, please," Frost said. He raised his hands to stop her. She rushed forward and shoved him out of the way. Frost tried to catch his balance but hit the floor instead. Heather ran to help Frost up. By the time he got to his feet, Yolanda was gone.
"We can't let her go. We have to call this in," Heather said.
Frost nodded. Pulling out his phone, he dialed 911. Making it back to her lab, Yolanda grabbed supplies. This included the wormhole gun. She worried that the police would pick her up any second, so she didn't hang around.
"Should have known something like this would happen. I'm not letting anyone pull us apart," she thought.
It was at that moment she knew her own personality was losing ground to the alien consciousness. She headed south out of the city. The car flew down the highway. Late afternoon traffic was light, luckily. Her palms slicked the steering wheel. She would have given anything for a drink in that moment. She caught a glimpse of her inhuman face in the mirror. It was taking over. It chittered incessantly, creating a constant buzz in her ear. She opened the windows and turned on the radio, all in an attempt to drown it out. Nothing was working.
"What the hell was I thinking? Frost, you spineless ass. You couldn't just help me? Had to bring in your cow wife? I can't believe I was so stupid," she thought.
"Slow down. You must not damage yourself. You are the vessel for my arrival,"
the interdimensional being hissed. The sudden sound of its voice in her head caused Yolanda to swerve hard. The tires screeched and swerved. Horns trumpeted as she careened off the road, slamming into the ditch. The airbag did its job, thankfully. Yolanda was dazed. The world spun.
"Get out of this machine. Escape. I must survive," the being commanded.
Without warning, the being's personality took control. She swung the door open and forced her body out. The engine hissed steam. The car was totaled. She could feel broken bones in her legs and warm rivers of blood down her face, but the interdimensional being's personality switched off her pain receptors.
"Stop fighting my commands. You must leave now," it chittered.
It had become a battle of wills that Yolanda was losing. Still dazed, she couldn't fight. Cars pulled over. People were yelling for her to sit back down as they approached. She grabbed her bag from the back seat and ran into the woods. Frost listened to the ring on the other end of the phone. All she had to do was pick up and maybe he could help her. He hit end on his cell. "She's not picking up."
"Damn it," Frost said.
"You didn't do anything wrong. She's not thinking straight. God knows what she has. Did you see the face the cop gave when you used the word wormhole?
I thought he was going to arrest us both for a false statement," Heather said. It had only been an hour, but it felt like an eternity. Frost paced like a caged tiger. "When I met her, she was brilliant, fun, had it all together. knew where she wanted to go with her life. We started dating our final year of college. I miss being that young and stupid. It was just easier, Frost lamented. Yeah, even with all the classwork, it was an easier time, Heather chimed in. Though, the other side of her brilliance was much darker. In college, we only saw each other every couple of weeks. Classes kept us busy. When we graduated, we decided to move in together. That's when things went sideways. I knew she liked to drink, but this wasn't just social drinking. Add on top the violent mood swings and outbursts. It got scary, but I couldn't walk away. It only got worse when she got the wormhole idea and no one would give her grant money for it. With each no, she became more chaotic. She'd go out at odd hours, getting blackout drunk and sleeping with other men. I still didn't leave. I thought I could save her, but you can't save people from themselves. One day, she just grabbed her stuff and left. Jesus, Frost. I'm so sorry. That sounds terrible, Heather responded. At the time, it was devastating. Even with all the problems, the drinking, the emotional outbursts, the cheating, I loved her. I should never have thought I could fix her, though. You were young and in love. It's understandable. I know that now. I thought I'd put it all behind me, but here I am again, worrying about someone who's made it clear that I'm not wanted, Frost said. You're a kind man. There isn't anything wrong with that. She shouldn't have opened a wormhole, especially by herself. Who does that? The danger to everyone on the planet, it's just nuts. We have no idea what's causing her transformation or if anyone else will be affected. She needs to be quarantined, Heather stated. Frost stopped pacing. He faced away from Heather, knowing she wouldn't like what he was about to say. I can't sit here and wait for them to find her. I have to try to help. If I don't and she dies, I'll hate myself forever. I'm sorry, Frost explained. We're quarantined. The lab is closed. There are cops at the doors. The medical team from the CDC will be here any second. We can't leave. No, we're not leaving. I am. I shouldn't have involved you in this. I'll take the heat. I can sneak out the secret door, Frost said.
There's a secret door? That's convenient, Heather said, rolling her eyes.
Yeah, in the early 2000s, the dean put hidden escape doors in all the rooms in case of a campus shooter. He finally turned to look at Heather. Her arms were crossed, indicating that a fight was about to happen. If you go, I should go with you. I can help, Heather said. No, one of us in trouble for bucking quarantine is enough. I'll find her and take her to a facility. We'll get this worked out. I don't like any of this, but it's clear I can't stop you. I love you. You'd better get going. I love you too. It was the only place Yolanda could think to go, her old college dorm. It had been closed a few years. Getting inside wasn't hard. It appeared that many had done it already. The walls were covered with graffiti. Yolanda was herself again, at least for now. The thing in the corner of her eye wanted control. Large, scaly blue patches covered her skin. Her left eye was bulbous and black. Her spine grew outwards. She was mutating into a new life form, one she knew wasn't meant to live in this reality. Yolanda, Frost said, standing at the door, all the blood had drained from his face. He was stunned at her transformation. She was looking out the window. Her laptop sat on an old crate running the wormhole program. The wormhole gun sat next to it. She didn't turn to look at him. Stay back. It's telling me to embrace you. I can't hold on much longer. I think you and Heather were right. It wants to infect you too. I'm going to be dead soon, Frost. Erased by my own hubris to prove to the world I was right. We can get you help. This can be fixed. No, we can't. You know we can't. How did you find me? You're smart. You're not going to stay at your lab, but you would go to some place you felt safe. I remembered you felt safe here, so I took a chance, Frost replied. You always knew me better than I knew myself. I'm sorry for all I've done and for all this, Frost. You've always been there, and I've always punished you for it, she said. You're an ass from time to time, but I would have stayed by your side no matter what. I know. That was part of the reason I left. I hated myself so much that I hated you for loving me. It's stupid, but my obsession with this project blinded me to all my other problems. I'm glad you have Heather. She seems nice, and you deserve someone who's like that, Yolanda said as if she was a million miles away. Finally, she turned. Frost couldn't help but to recoil. Tears welled up in his eyes. His mind began to melt in heartbreak. He couldn't accept what was staring him in the face. Jesus, Yolanda. We have to do something, sobbed Frost. We are going to do something.
If I die before it can take over, it dies too. I've put in the coordinates between here and 40 miles up. It's a short enough distance that there will be no real tunnel for me to get through, Yolanda said. It took Frost a moment to process what she was planning.
No, you can't do that.
It's the only way to make sure. If this thing wins, humanity is lost. You know I'm right, Yolanda said. Frost wanted to plead. He wanted to grab her and drag her out, but she was right. This was the only way. What do I have to do? Pick up the wormhole gun and fire it so that the portal opens right below me. I'll fall through, and this will be over. Frost picked the gun up, and before he could second-guess himself, he pointed it at the floor below her and fired. With a flash, she was gone. He fell to his knees, crying. Yolanda flew through the atmosphere, arms outstretched, waiting to hug the earth at 200 miles per hour. The city streets came into focus. They snaked out in every direction. No grid system or elegant design, just concrete chaos. Car lights illuminated its veins, pumping humanity in and out of downtown. She smiled, thinking this was the best high she'd ever had. Yolanda's life didn't pass before her eyes. Instead, life's beauty blurred by at a hideous speed. The interdimensional being inside howled with rage. It was helpless. She hit the pavement. Yolanda proved that safety should always come first when entering a wormhole. You never know how you'll come out the other side. Would you trust a homemade wormhole? Be sure to tell us in the comments. If you liked this Portents of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen now. Good night, Fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.